You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson. Hey, we've been getting some great feedback on this show already. Some of you might remember Anne, who was in episode 6, who just emailed me this morning to say that since she's been doing her dream alchemy practice, things have been really moving along in her life. A lot of positive changes. Powerful was how she described it. So it's really important to remember that understanding your dream is one thing. So the dream interpretation is one thing, but the really powerful thing is doing the dream alchemy practice afterwards. So let's see how we go with today's caller. And today we're welcoming Dave. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, Jane, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thanks. What's been happening with you? What have you been dreaming?
Oh, well, dreaming, yes. Well, my dream's not a current dream, although there is a current dream that I was actually discussing with my good friend, Mr. Williams. But it was more the fact that I had mentioned a dream that I had as a young boy into sort of adolescence.
Yeah.
That I haven't had for quite a long while, that he was actually interested in me talking to you about. That's how sort of I ended up here. But it's strange how these things happen. But the dream that I used to have, as I particularly remember it as a young boy, like 8, 9, 10, through to when I was about 15 or 16, sort of mid-adolescence, and that was one, it was sort of like a two-part dream and sometimes a three-part dream where I would wake up through part of it. And then once I went back to sleep, I felt like I'd woken up, and I'd nearly always start dreaming the second half of the dream. The first half of the dream was rather frightening for me, and it involved me running through, like, a forest, quite futuristic in the fact that the trees in the forest were made of razor blades.
Mm.
And they were dripping down, but I would never be cut. They wouldn't cut me or hurt me, but it was frightening. And I always felt like I had to be somewhere or get away from something. It was always a very dark, grey, metallic forest, strangely enough, considering no razor blades. But it wasn't a pleasant place. It wasn't somewhere nice, but I felt that if it was green and they were real trees, it would have been.
Mm.
And there were different things in the forest. There was always like a slippery slide for some reason, but it was made of razor blades, so hence the reluctance to even use it. But it was like, it wasn't a regular slippery dip. It was like a roller coaster type thing that would get you out of the situation you were in, but if you did it, you know that it probably wouldn't have been a good idea.
Yeah.
So there was, and that was just that theme. It was always this sort of trying to get out of it, trying to run through it, get out of it, and it was always like foliage and trees and things made of razor blades and not very artistically, sort of thrown together.
Mm.
And that would almost certainly wake me up. I would almost certainly either feel like I'd woken or there was definitely a gap in my dream. And then I would find myself standing, it was always very specific. The sun, it was on a beach, but it was a peculiar beach in which the sand dune was extremely high and it would come down, and where the sand dune came down at a very steep angle, it would meet the beach. And between the end of the sand dune and the beach, the water, there would only be a metre or two. And the waves were always lapping. They were never crashing, just lapping. It was late afternoon, the sun was setting, and there would be a very gentle onshore breeze, and I'd find myself standing at the top of the dune, and I would nearly always close my eyes and let the sun come down onto my face, and I'd feel the warmth of the sun. And I would actually, if I put my arms out, I would then begin to fly on the top of this dune. So I would always be floating and sort of not soaring flying, just floating and rising and falling and swooping on the top of this sand dune. Is that pretty weird, Jane?
Oh, all dreams are weird, but not much of the rest of that was beautiful. And it was, beautifully played.
That was the end of the dream. It didn't get any more complex than that.
At the end of the dream, when you were standing on the sand dune and kind of drifting along, did you have any sense that the sand would move underneath you? Were they shifting sands, or did it feel quite solid?
Quite solid, but at the same time still had the property of sand.
Mm. Yeah.
So that it wasn't like churning or moving or slipping or sliding. It was just sand on a dune.
And right from the very beginning, you know, you had this recurring dream from about the age of 8, 9, 10, to when you're about 15 or 16. Right from the very beginning, did you often go back and have this floating ending, or did that come in later years, do you remember?
No, it was always there at the beginning.
Mm. Fantastic. Mm. That was your saving grace throughout. A dream always refers to the day or two before, and it's the way that your dreaming mind is processing the events of the last couple of days. So when you've got a recurring dream, it reflects a recurring situation or issue in your life. So once you can say, oh, look, I had this dream from, say, age 8, 9, 10 until I was, say, 15 or 16, you know straight away that this dream was reflecting an issue which began in your life when you were about 8, 9, 10, and really basically you were on top of it, or it was gone or resolved by the time you were 15 or 16. So that's the kind of age, the number of years we're looking at, you know, in your life that this dream applies to. Which are, you know, pretty adolescent kind of years for anybody.
Yeah, well, who knows what it was, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll go into that, but for anybody going through those years, these are pretty tumultuous. And, you know, at one stage in your dream, you were looking at the slippery dip, and you said, well, that's not a normal slippery dip. It's more like a roller coaster, you know, and who knows how it's going to feel when you come out the other end. And a lot of us would describe our adolescent years as a bit of a roller coaster rather than a slippery dip.
So you kind of
got that emotional feel through that. So if you then look at the whole dream, you go, okay, the feeling of the forest was dark, lifeless, because what should have been, as you say, what should have been leaves were razor blades. What should have been green was grey and cold and dark. So you've got this whole feeling of, at least at some points, at recurring intervals during your adolescent years, going through these phases where you felt that where there should have been life and maybe sensitivity and maybe growth, you know, because forests are growth and leaves are growth, you felt in its place a sense of dark, cold, sharp, you know, the razor cutting kind of emotions around your cutting feelings, perhaps not very supported. And as you say in the dream, you weren't sure whether you were running away from something or trying to get to something better. I love that at the end of the dream, after you kind of woke up and fell back to sleep again, that you did always get to that something better, which was the sense of standing on the sand dunes with the water just lapping gently and the feeling of just floating above this. So even though the sands, as you said, still had the quality of sand, you know, they still may shift. It's not exactly solid ground just yet. Things are changing.
It was an extremely pleasant dream, that one.
Yeah.
But at the end.
And that's what's so beautiful about it, because deep down in your unconscious mind, even as a child, you knew that whatever you were going through or whatever you were feeling about life that felt a bit devoid of life, that felt a bit grey and sharp and scary, actually you had the ability to literally rise above it, because you tied up each of those dreams, even as a child, by rising above what wasn't yet quite firm, what felt shifting, by closing your eyes, by feeling the sun, by lifting up. You know, you were floating in the dream. You were lifting up from what felt insecure and unsure, what could have been shifting, what was still settling. So as a child, you had that ability, or you created that ability within yourself to be able to, rather than be drawn down by difficult or cold or challenging circumstances, to be able to rise above them. Now, you may have done that by daydreaming. You may have done that by learning how to literally rise above any situation and see the sunny side of it. And I imagine knowing a little bit about your professional background and your how talented you are and how you've carved your own unique path through life, I imagine that that's based on what you've taken from...
It makes a lot of sense,
taken that from your difficulties.
Yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense, because even to this day as an adult, I sometimes have elements of that, of flying and being at peace and been quite feeling like I'm on top of the world and I could take on anything.
Mm-hmm. And you use that? You use that feeling in your life when you want to do something new?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, unless you confront a challenge knowing that you're going to succeed, then you're pretty much setting yourself up for guaranteed failure.
That's so true.
So that's always been my philosophy. I've always had a go-get-em attitude, you know. I've always said, while I've seen the challenge as being great, I've always thought that I could do it.
Mm.
And I've never given up anything that I've ever started. I can honestly say that. I've never given up and thought, no, I can't do it anymore.
That's wonderful. So, yeah, because of the experiences you had as a child. Can you relate to that feeling during those adolescent years of things sometimes being cold and dark and grey and lifeless?
Absolutely. Yeah, you see, I still am, even as an adult, despite what appears to be a pretty robust exterior, I'm actually fairly sensitive as a person.
Mm.
And I'm very easily hurt, and I'm quite sensitive to what other people think of me. And I wasn't your average kid. I mean, I wasn't into sport, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't make a lot of friends easily. I can be a bit acid in my personality. You know, I can push people away.
Yeah.
So I probably had to deal with some pretty adult sort of emotional growth type issues as an adolescent and as a young adult, probably more so than the average person.
Yes.
You know, if you've got lots of friends and you make them easily, well, life is that much easier, isn't it?
That's right. And obviously with those razor blades around you, you felt at the time that you were on the receiving end of, you know, cutting edge. Feeling, as you say, because you were sensitive, feeling that what people said around you, actually, you were very close to those razor blades cutting into you and feeling hurt. Close shaves. And yet, as you say, it's actually given you, pardon the pun, a sharp edge in life and ability.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too, that I would attribute the feeling of being able to accomplish things as having an extremely supportive family.
Mm.
An extremely supportive family. I'm very fortunate that I've got two parents and a brother that love me for who I am. And have always said that to me, even though I may have hurt them or I may have said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing. They've always loved me, always supported me. And I think that gave me feelings of that fact that I can accomplish what I set out to do. And I still feel that way.
I wonder if that's part of the that lovely thing at the end where you were able to relax and rise above the situation, whether that, you know, to have had that ability to finish the dream in that way as a very young child, you know, 8, 9, 10, suggests that may have been something then that you were drawing on your family, you know, that was like what they were trying to teach you to, you know, a way that no matter what you felt, that support was there, and at least unconsciously you had that, you grasped that, you know.
I think you're right. I think you're right. It's an interesting insight because, I mean, the dream of the forest, and that's always been a very frightening dream. There's always been something out in the forest that I haven't been able to identify. It's always been very, very frightening to me.
Mm.
And again, there's elements of that dream that come up in my adult life that are frightening to me as well, but for different reasons. It's often attributed to fear of my family being hurt or the death of family members and things like that. It's always been very, very frightening to me, this dark, grey, steely, cold environment.
Yes.
You know, so there's elements of that come up. I can't remember where I was going.
Well, I'll take you up on that. That's interesting because, you know, if you think of a tree as a, we have like in a tree, a family tree, you know, so in a whole forest, you've got a whole forest of family trees. A forest should be full of life. It's usually a growing thing. Often in dreams, you'll see, you can never be precise about a symbol in dreams. You know, you can't like just pick up a dream dictionary. It doesn't work that way. It's all personal associations. But quite often you'll see that when people are in forests in dreams, it's about how they interact with other people. It's like every tree is a person and this is how I interact with them. So that fits with a lot of what you have said today. And for that theme to sometimes still come up in your life now, is really, you know, continuing on the issue, how do I, Dave, relate socially to other people? How do I go through the forest of life? And one lovely thing you can do is that, you know, you'll have noticed from that as we grow older, our dreams still sometimes hang on to the symbols of our childhood. So, you know, your dreams might still bring up trees or forests when you're still fine-tuning, resolving some issues. And that's where you can bring in the dream alchemy practice, because what that is using symbols from any dream to actually just make sure that your that any unconscious beliefs that are not working for you can be reprogrammed. So, like in your case, because you had that beautiful rising above on the sand dune feeling at the end of your dream when you were little, it's more a matter for you of any time that you feel either in a dream now or in life now that you think, oh, this has got shades of the cold, dark forest here, the grey, the razor blade, that you can just instantly close your eyes while you're awake and re-envisage being on top of that sand dune and all the feelings that floating above had, except maybe in your visualization solidify the sand dune into something you know that's become really concrete and safe, because as you say, a lot of your where you feel vulnerable often nowadays is the feeling of losing family or death or those things. So changing what is shifting in a dream to what feels more stable and more concrete. And if you do have a return of, you know, that kind of forest dream, that to wake up, and the dream alchemy practice would be to change the futuristic razor blade clad grey cold forest into a beautiful green and growing forest of your choice, and see yourself walking through it, not eager to escape anything, walking, you know, at the right pace towards the thing that you want to have. And it all sounds so simple and so naive, but it is actually a very powerful way to reprogram your unconscious mind, just to, here we go with that pun again, to give you the edge to take you through.
Yeah, it's actually the whole with the beach and the water. They're common things that come up in my dreams as well. But it's probably because of my childhood. I spent a lot of time around the water and the beach. My grandparents owned a house on the water, and one of the specific things I remember feeling about that part of the dream was the perfect temperature and the perfect literal atmosphere that I was in. Mm-hmm. It was that very soft breeze, very soft in your face, so that it wasn't cold, but the temperature itself was quite warm but not hot.
Mm.
It was just perfect.
And did your grandparents give you a special support when you were a child too?
Yeah, absolutely. But interestingly, this is the clinker. When I was a young adult, when I was about, this is actually interesting, you've caused me to think about this, and I've never really understood it, or I've never really put the connection together. When I was about 15 or 16, I was there at my grandparents' house that was on the water near the ocean with all the smells and all the things associated with it, and those exact temperature and climate happened to me in real life.
Ah. And that was at the end of your...
I was just... Yes, and I've only just realised that.
and your dreams, your recurring dreams actually stopped once you met that in reality.
Yeah, well, that exact one, yeah. I've only just realised that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So in that moment when you were 15 or 16, you were standing there and you were awake and you felt that, it would have been the ultimate feeling for you as, yes, you know, not just in my dreams, but life can deliver this feeling for me. I feel safe.
And you know what? That day that I experienced that, without the realisation until just now that it was actually part of the dream as well, but... I often think of that day of wishing that I was back. It was nothing special. I'd been diving for the day. I'd come back to the house. My grandparents said, yeah, you can use the house to get changed and park your car and all that sort of stuff. And I'd just come back to the house and I'd had a shower and I came out into the balcony and I think I was having a beer or something. And
at 16?
Well, you know, coffee. I say beer now, but coffee. Or something, you know, I was having a drink at the end of the day and I was feeling... I experienced that, and it was just. I often wish I was back there. It was nothing special. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I created a special day or a time. It was just I was there, and I often wish that I could go back there and just spend 5 minutes.
What you have said is so precious. Because working backwards, you can at any time go back there and spend 5 minutes by just visualizing it and everything about that moment that you had back then. By simply visualizing it and calming your unconscious mind can bring that into the present circumstance. And the other thing I particularly love about what you said there is, you know, you're saying, oh, look, it wasn't so special. It was justice. It was just that, but it was so special, is that in that moment you touched what so many people spend, you know, decades trying to touch, which is the specialness that can come from an ordinary moment. You know, so many people chase, oh, it's got to be the money, it's got to be the holiday, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. And what we really want is the ability to totally, absolutely feel at peace in that one, you know, everyday moment. And you experience that then. And that's something that you can tune into anytime. I'm going to have to wrap this because we've had a lovely long talk.
No, you know what I'm like. I've got a verbal diarrhea. You know, I did warn you.
It's been fantastic to have you on the show, Dave. And thanks for sharing your dream. That would have been not only helpful to, you know, everybody listening, but also to people who are younger or who have children going through teenage years to try to help them understand recurring dreams such as that. So, thanks for that. And
not a problem.
That's great. Well, and thanks everybody for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. You can find out more information about dream interpretation and analysis on my website at www.dream.net.au. And there's also my audiobook, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, which is the audio version of my paperback book, which has currently got 63,000 copies in print. It's a great reference to help you interpret and understand your dreams, and it's also available from the Lifestyle Pod Network. So for more information, you can visit my website or lifestylepodnetwork.com. So thanks for joining me today. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and I'll see you next week for the next episode of The Dream Show.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.